On this Easter morning, I want us to think together for a few minutes about two of the principal victories of Easter, two of the principal achievements of God as His Son Jesus rises from the tomb, two of the great ways in which your life and my life are touched by Easter. And as I set out to do that, I take as my text the words of Jodie Foster from the great 1997 movie Contact, in which she starred as Ellie Arroway, a young girl who started out playing with ham radios and whose greatest achievement was living up in Illinois as she did, that she actually spoke to someone in Pensacola, Florida. Ellie grows up to become a radio astronomer. She's so attached to the radio and speaking to faraway people that she wants to spend her life speaking to aliens. Now, along the way, she meets a fallen Roman Catholic priest who talks to her about prayer and about how you really can speak to someone outside yourself. But Ellie never quite gets that part of it. And at one point in the movie, she goes before the board of directors of a great wealthy foundation that she's trying to get to underwrite her work with radio astronomy. And here, bad grammar and all, is what she says to them. "Gentlemen," she says, "I'm asking you to consider something that just might end up being the most profoundly impactful moment for humanity, for the history of history." Now, I'm not sure about what the history of history means. I'm pretty sure there's no such word as impactful, but that's the text I've taken for this morning. And why? Because Jodie Foster is pushing those men in that scene in the movie, and her words push you and me this morning to look for deeper meanings and for greater things beyond ourselves, to try to struggle with and cope with things that we don't understand. In her case, it had to do with humanity's first contact with alien beings. In our case, it has to do with our knowledge and love of God, and above all, His knowledge and love of you and me. The two great victories that I want to discuss with you this morning, the two essential meanings of Easter that are before us, are Christ's victory over sin and His victory over death. Sin and death. Now, we can tell right off the bat that these are two things that need a little bit of talking about from the pulpit, don't they? After all, we've invented a whole series of euphemisms to cover those two subjects so that we never even have to say the words, haven't we? We don't speak of people dying very much anymore. We talk about them passing or going on. We don't use the word die a lot. We don't even call funerals funerals much anymore. We call them celebrations of life. Well, that's good. We do celebrate eternal life. But when I die and when I'm laid out right there, I hope you don't come to celebrate the years that went before that I lived on earth. I hope you come to celebrate the new life that we can all know in Jesus Christ and what that means for the future of us all. No, when I die, I'm going to be dead until the resurrection. Until the resurrection. And the same, you know, is true about sickness. We don't talk about sickness much anymore. We don't admit when our cards are being put on the table and the chips are being called in. Most people these days want to pretend that all is going to be well all the time without ever facing the possible contingency that, in fact, God's plans for them are different than their own plans. Likewise, sin. We've come up with a number of euphemisms for that. We talk about, even I'll tend to refer to, the complications of life, or to the exigencies of existence, or to a lack of understanding of the nature of what's going on, when in fact, what I'm wanting to talk about is our behavior contrary to the will of God. I'm here to talk about those things that happened in the history of mankind, beginning with the Garden of Eden and coming on, that are contrary to the will of God. Well, let's start for a moment by talking about death and why it is it needs to be conquered. What is it about death that needs to be overcome? Well, the Bible refers to the sting of death, and I think that's a good phrase. The current idea that death is really just a part of life, that it's a natural part, and that the sooner we come to terms with it, it won't be the specter that it's always been. Again, we invent those euphemisms so we don't even have to say the word die. Death, though, is not a part of life. Death is the negation of life. According to Scripture, death, ultimately speaking, is the result of the fall, of our own sinfulness. Now, there certainly are times when death relieves a person we love from suffering and pain, but death in and of itself is the enemy. That's what Paul calls it in 1 Corinthians, an enemy. He says the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And death needs to be overcome because it has connected humanity with this enormous sting. A sting resulting from several reasons. First, the fearful mystery of it all. What happens when we die? Where are we? Where are our loved ones after we close our eyes for the last time? I remember visiting the British Museum in London once upon a time, and there were room after room there dedicated to maps, new and old and ancient, some of these maps going back 3,500, 4,000 years. And whenever those maps reached a point on the globe at which there was no knowledge, out on the distant seas and over the oceans, the maps would always be illustrated, filled with demons and ogres and wild beasts and images of dragons and other creatures that we could not understand. Why did the map makers do that? They did it because these were the areas that weren't known. These were the places that no one had ever been and which they didn't understand. Now, much has changed between the ancient world and our times, but not human nature. There's always been a fear of the unknown, and if distant places on earth and across the ocean call for us to describe them with demons and beasts and dragons and monsters, then certainly that greatest of all unknown regions, death, likewise, is going to be described that way. Death separates us from those we love. Your husband, your wife, one day she's here, the next she's gone. Your parent, for 50, 60 years he was my father, but no more, he's gone. And how many times have I wished I could pick up the phone and talk to my own? Death, though, is the negation of life. And it comes with a sting and with fear. And death needs to be overcome. It is death that Jesus Christ conquered when he rose from the dead. That's why you and I can address the subject of death with confidence and in a sure and holy hope of our own everlasting life with him. He has conquered death and removed its sting. He has conquered death and promised us that we too shall be in his heavenly kingdom with him. He has conquered death and given us a great blessing, confidence, hope for our lives and for the lives of those whom we love. The other great enemy to our existence, sin, and the sort of guilt, remorse, regret, and judgment that it carries, that also was defeated at Easter. Sin needs to be overcome because we simply are unable to carry the burden of it. That catalog of issues and actions and thoughts that destroy us and pull us down and separate us from one another and from God. We're all sort of like Marley's ghost, you remember, in the Christmas Carol, who talking to Ebenezer Scrooge said that he wore the chain that he forged in life, how he made it link by link and yard by yard. And then we remember the character Dimmesdale in The Scarlet Letter, who, looking at Hester Prynne wearing her scarlet A, representing her sin, said to her that she should be happy because she can wear her letter openly while the one that he wears is concealed within and burning him up. Well, even if we don't recall all the self-centered things done and the loving things left undone, one great day we will be reminded of them all and we will give an account. That's a promise. That's why the earliest Christians were so overcome with joy when they learned what had actually transpired on the cross, that he who lay down in the grave and rose again had in fact taken away their guilt and given them reconciliation with God. So these two things are important results of Easter: victory over sin and victory over death. Inexpressible good news for the earliest Christians and for us as well. Now, as I wrap this up, I want to come around to the central question of the day. What do you really, deep down, think about this bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead? Do you believe that he actually rose? What do you honestly think? Now, maybe you believe that something more subjective happened, some kind of shared memory of a beautiful person and of his life, and many people believe that sort of thing. I'm not here today to lecture you. I hope something I say may help to change your mind, but I'm not here to lecture you. But I do want you to know this. If somewhere along the line you have lost your confidence that he actually bodily rose from the dead, then I hope that this Easter has a deeper living reality for you. I hope that it moves you beyond sentiment and the mere expressions of beauty, which are so wonderful in and of themselves on this day, and moves you towards a realization of the spiritual life that you are free now to enjoy. A life in which sin need not be a burden, need not be a prison, need not be chains of bondage, and a life in which the specter, the mystery, the fear of death need not dominate. If all that is true, then we can enjoy those words of Jodie Foster's even more deeply, because we will have come to understand what is in fact the most profoundly impactful moment for humanity, for the history of history. Easter has this message for us. First, if you carry with you something like scars of guilt and regret, if you're in touch with your sinfulness, and I hope you are, then you need not worry about it on Easter. You can enjoy this day more than ever, In fact, having those sins qualifies you for this day because Jesus had a special place in his heart for people in touch with their need for mercy and forgiveness. And second, Easter is a message for you because death is frightening. There's an appalling finality to our enemy death, and there's the pain of loss, but Jesus' resurrection is the antidote to the horror and the sting of death. It is his promise to us. He has heard our cries, and he has come down to us. The early map makers, cartographers, drew monsters and dragons in places where they had never been. What the Bible does is draw there in the unknown regions of the other side of our lives the kind, the loving, the forgiving face of our Savior. And surely this is the greatest, most astonishing, most inexpressibly wonderful good news we can possibly know. Jesus Christ is risen today. Sin is vanquished, death is defeated. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.